we're gonna sing this song.
Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect, it comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. You're the center of my joy. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Oh, all that's good and perfect, it comes from you. Of my contentment, hope for all I do, Jesus. You're the center of my joy. Oh, Jesus, you are the center of my joy. That's good and perfect, it comes from you. Oh, you're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Oh, Jesus, oh, you are the center, you're the center of my joy. Oh, Jesus, Lord, you're the center of my joy. Yes, Jesus, Lord, you're the center of my joy. Yes, you're the center of my joy. When I was lost, when I was down and out, Lord, your hand, your loving hand, it came to rescue me. When my eyes were blinded, when I couldn't see, Lord, you opened my heart and you helped me receive. That's why Jesus, yes, only Jesus, you're the sinner. You're the sinner, you're the sinner, you're the sinner. When my loved ones and friends, when they turn their back on me, you were right there for me. You were right there for me. When did I have no one to turn to, no one to call? Lord, you were right there to carry me through it all. So Jesus, oh, you are. You're the center of my joy. When I'm down and out, when I'm crying all alone, Lord, you're there to hear my cry, and you'll carry me through it all. So, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Give God some praise. worthy. Is he the center of your joy today? Do you even have joy? Well, I'm here to let you know, if you don't have joy today, that Jesus can make you the center. You can make him the center of your joy. Hallelujah. Woo. Anybody going through anything today? Come on. Come with me. Is anybody going through anything today? Well, I'm here to let you know that Christ is here. He's never left us nor forsaken us. And whatever you need from him right now, you just lift your hands to him. Lift your hands to Jesus. Hallelujah. I guarantee that if you make him head of your life, he will be the center of your joy. The very core, the very center, no matter what you're going through. Make Jesus the center of your joy. Hallelujah. I can only speak to you for what's going on inside of me. And I'm here to let you know today that like never before, I'm making him the center of my joy, because I know that without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I would fail. Without him, there would be no me. There would be no me. And he's the reason that I live, I move, and I have my being this day. He is the center of my joy. Hallelujah. Thank you for the scripture that was read in Matthew's chapter 25. Verse 14 to 30. I always like to read it again because it really ministers to me as I begin to speak it aloud. How many know there's power in God's word today? Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. And it reads, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who calls his own servants and delivers unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. He doubled his portion. And likewise, he that had received 2 talents, he also gained other 2. He also doubled his portions. But he that had received 1 talent went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought others 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto the 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents. I've doubled them, Lord. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. I've doubled them, Lord. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, And I went and I hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which have 10 talents. For unto every one that have shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that have not be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We thank you for the reading of God's word. And what I'd like to talk to you today is on a sermon topic of don't play it safe. Don't play it safe. Here, Jesus is describing the kingdom of heaven in a parable. He tells the story of 3 servants who were entrusted by their master to go out and work and prosper what each of them had been given. Each servant had a state of expectancy to do well in what was given to each of them. Notice in this parable, it doesn't describe these 3 as workers. It doesn't say that they were employees. It doesn't even say or describe them as staff or personnel, but it describes them as servants. It says in Matthew 25 and 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into the far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. There are many definitions that describe the word servant, but I particularly like to see how it's read in Webster Dictionary, as it defines it as the word as one who is privately employed to perform domestic services. Now, as I looked at that definition, my eyes zoomed into the word domestic services. And I found that domestic service is someone who serves mainly in the household, caring for those who are in need and carrying out the specific responsibilities that others may not necessarily feel is as important of a task that others may perhaps disregard. What do we mean by this? Well, it brought me to me and my sons, David and Jonathan. Now, we know Brian, if it's clean in the room, it's clean. If it's dirty, it's dirty. That's how you men are. All right, I ain't going to talk about you too much. But when we talk about my sons' rooms, I always tell them, clean up your room, David and Jonathan. And there's one room that they have. There's a bin. And in that bin are a bunch of toys. Now, the toys are separated by cars. It's separated by robots. It's separated by balls, all kinds of things. It's separated. However, when they decide to play with these toys, they become out of order. And so David will say, when I tell him to clean up, he'll say, he's the spokesman of his brother and him, by the way. He'll say, Mommy, this is a lot to do. There's stuff everywhere. Can you help us clean it up? So of course, I would let him know, if you would have cleaned up as you went along playing with your toys the days before, you wouldn't have to worry about this. So David would look at me and says, but can you help me clean up? And I says, you're going to clean it up on your own. Jonathan has the famous word, sorry, Mommy, can you forgive us? I said, sure enough, Jonathan, but you still got to clean up your mess. How many know that the things that are disregarded are the very things that need special attention? And if we start paying attention to the need rather than the prestige of being recognized for the outcome, we'll be more open to what God has truly called us to do. So what am I trying to say here? What am I trying to express? No matter what it feels like and no matter what it seems like, when God has given you a task, it's for a reason. And when you're obedient to doing what God tells you to do, the results of that task has got to prosper. Amen? Psalms 1:3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he doeth shall prosper. Now, in this parable, the master represents Christ, who is the owner and the proprietor. He's the manager, the delegator, and the mediator. He's the one who gives the instructions in the manner of the church, for it is into him, in his hands, that all things are given. Furthermore, in this parable, the servants, they represent the Christians, Christ's own servants, born of his house. Hallelujah. Bought with his price. Hallelujah. Because the Lord's, it is his money. How many know that he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities? The chastisement of his peace was upon him. And by his stripes, what he paid on Calvary's cross, we were healed. We were bought with a price. These are those who are devoted to his praise. We're still talking about the Christians here. Meditated in worship and employed in his work. Humbled and ready to do his will. In 2 Timothy 2 and 24, Paul called his own self a servant of Jesus Christ when he said, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient." So now that we understand those are represented in the parable, we can now say that the purpose of each servant that was sent to accomplish and not to remain idle. Proverbs 19 and 5 say, "The slothfulness casteth into the deep sleep, and the idle soul shall suffer hunger." The parable says that the master gave each servant a task to complete. Amen? To one was given 5 talents. The second, he gave 2 talents. And another, he gave 1 talent. 2 of the servants, they doubled in prosperity of what was given to them. But the one servant, he buried his talent. He was more concerned in not making any mistakes, not losing what his master had given him, rather than trusting that he was capable of handling what was given to him. His master was furious, as to say, "If you knew I was after the best, why did you do the least that was the least of what I've given you?" Understand that when God gives you an assignment, he's giving it to you because he knows what you're capable of. Don't play it safe. Don't play it safe, because we got to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not into our own understanding. We have to, in all our ways, acknowledge him, knowing that he will direct our path. Playing it safe says that we have no faith in God. We have no faith in what he's capable of. We disregard Philippians 14, where it says, "All things are possible through Christ who strengthens us." If we trust and believe in his word and we stop trying to do it ourselves, the Lord can perform his miracles in our lives. God is able to do just what he said he would do. He is going to fulfill every promise when we put our trust in him. God don't want us to give up on him, because he's not going to give up on us. How many know he's able today? What the Lord gives you, we got to take it. And I don't know much about football, but I do know that when the player gets the ball in his hand, he puts it underneath his armpit and he runs with it. Amen? All you know, you got to dodge and dip and get out of the way of the other guys that's about to knock you down. If you can make it through with your eyes on the prize, which is the calling of Christ Jesus, you can persevere. You can make it. Don't give up, because God is not going to give up on you. He's going to pull you through whatever you're going through. All you have to do is look towards the hills from which cometh your help, knowing that your help cometh from the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to fulfill your destiny. There's more to it than you think. Just trust in the Lord and flow in his finished product. Trust in the Lord. If you don't play it safe, it's going to make things worse in your life. The Lord is standing there right at the door, giving us every opportunity to let him in. You got to step out on faith, because it is by faith that you can move mountains. It is by faith that we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God does not want us to bury our talents today. I don't know what God has given you as an individual and what you're capable of, but God knows what you're capable of. He knows why you sit in the seat that you're in today. He knows why you've gone through the things that you've gone through in life. And what he gives you and what he talks to you about, you got to trust and you got to believe that you're capable of doing what he's told you to do. If he didn't think you can do it, he would not have given it to you. God has given you a testimony. He's given you a testimony. Now, many of us today, we look at our testimony as something that we got to hold on to, or we might not be able to tell somebody because somebody might look at us as different. Understand that when we open up our mouth and we tell of what God has brought us through, that is the time that the Bible says that we are overcome by our testimony. Let me tell you something. When I was growing up, okay, for many years, I've held my testimony in. Many years. Why? Because I was ashamed. I was ashamed of what I went through as a child. And the other reason would be is because I didn't want to put down my family. I wanted to hold them under protection. I did not want people to see me as being one person now and then seeing me as somebody else and possibly thinking that they would look at me in a different way. When I was growing up, I was practically homeless because my mother went out and she wanted to be a superstar. But me, as a 9-year-old, was raising my twin 1-year-old brother and sister. I was raising my 5-year-old brother. I watched them every night of the week to 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, a 9-year-old. I thought that that was the normal thing to do. Taking care of myself, letting people see me as a child and going to school and not being able to fully clean myself, not fully being able to comb my hair, having kids in the school talk about me, laughing at me, talking about how much I smelled and how much I was nobody and was never going to be anybody. Did I hold it in? When I grew up, I didn't talk about it. I ended up being in a place where the people from DHS was coming to take me and my brothers and sisters away because somebody in the projects, y'all remember Bartram Village? How many know about Bartram Village? Well, that's where I grew up. I grew up in Bartram Village, and a lot of what had happened, someone told on my mother, came in and talked, and my mother came to me and said, there's going to be a man. He's going to come. He's going to talk to you. Baby, if you tell that man that you don't go to school, if you tell him that you stand in the house wee hours of the morning by yourself with your little brothers and sisters, if you tell this man anything about me not being at home, they're going to take you away from me. How many know that was like the best lie that I've ever told to make a 100% score of 100, that if I knew that as that man questioned me, I said everything that I needed to say to keep him from taking us away. Right afterwards, we were put into the care of my aunt, my grandmother, and my other aunt. The Lord kept me as a child. That's when I went to Christian school and learned more about Jesus. That's when I realized that I was going to be somebody greater than being where I was at that time. Did I forgive my mother? Yes, I forgave my mother. Did I forgive my father for saying that I didn't even belong to her while she was in the womb when she got pregnant with me at 15? Yes, I forgave him. The Lord allowed me just recently to be able to open up and talk about it because for a long time I held it in. But the Lord has given this to me to give to you today, to tell you that whatever you've gone through, whatever you have gone through, you don't be ashamed of what you have gone through. But understand, somebody's got to hear it. Somebody's going to be delivered from what you have to tell. But in the meanwhile, as you begin to open up your mouth and you begin to tell it, the Lord is going to slowly but surely heal you. We have to understand that there's a purpose for everything that we go through in life today. And then as you grow in him and you continue to read his word, that purpose will be fulfilled even more. And when the Lord speaks about these talents, when he talks about this parable, he is telling his servants to go out and tell people. Not just, it's not all about the money. Remember, this is a parable. So the Lord turns this into ministry. We need to go out. We need to talk to others. We need to tell them what God is about. Well, how God came and he loves us so much. How he would never leave us. How how he would never forsake us, how he makes us above and not beneath, how he makes us lenders and not borrowers, how he makes us more than conquerors. We need to go out, and we need to be able to go to the Lord when it's all finished and said and done, at the day that he looks at us and he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We'll be able to say, Lord, I told them what you told me to tell them. I went where you told me to go. I did what you told me to do. Lord, I'm willing and able to do whatever you tell me to do. God will prosper you. He will prosper you because the only purpose for us to be here on this earth today is to serve him. He's the only reason. He's the only glory. And if it wasn't for him on my side today, I don't know where I would be. God has planted us in this ministry, both my husband and I, because he knew what we went through growing up. And he knew that our hearts would reach out to those that are also going through their own circumstances. Hallelujah. I thank God today, because as we come together and as we recognize our true purpose for ministry, even those that might not even know the Lord today, don't you know that God has called you to work in the vineyard? Don't you know that God has given you a talent and he wants you to go and take that talent and prosper? Go out and tell somebody what the Lord has done. Go out and tell somebody your story that might be a healing to them and also a healing to you. Go out and be the witness that God has called you to do. And right now, you might not feel that you can open up your mouth and talk about that. But just as I talk to you today, it's been years before I can tell anybody. But when it's God that's on your side, it does not matter how long, because his days are not our days. His days, his hours, the seasons, all those things. We can't match up to God. God will touch your heart, but you got to open up to him. Hallelujah. Rise on your feet today. Hallelujah. Maybe the Lord has given you a special testimony, and maybe you have been holding that testimony in for a long time. We might consider them scars. We might consider them embarrassments. We might consider that people might look at us a different way. God is letting you know today, he allowed you to go through these things for a reason. It's to make you stronger. It's to make you greater. But it's as long as you hold in that talent, the Lord cannot use you. So he wants you to understand your full purpose for being here on earth. Many might feel like, why am I here? Why am I going through all that I'm going through? Was I a mistake? Let me tell you something. God don't make no mistakes. He's a perfect God. And the word of God says, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And if we can know and believe that we are his children, know and believe that we are made in his image and we are made perfect in his eyes. No matter what you're doing, God is saying he can still save your soul today. If you don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sins, and you desire to get him to know him in a special way, you desire to come into your heart to give you that spirit of boldness where you can go out and not waste what he's given you. If that's you and you desire to know him at this time, understand, I want you to look just this way. Don't look to your left and your right, but at this time, come on out in the aisle and come to the altar and give your life to him. Give your life to Jesus today. Hallelujah. It takes a bold soldier to come forward. Pride is right before the fall of man. And I'm telling you today, it took a while ago everything in me to understand my full purpose. I knew that God had called me. I knew that he had destined me for ministry. But it took so much for me to forgive my father, who said that I was not his. It took so much for me to forgive my mother. It took a lot for me to be able to open up and tell anyone. But God is delivering me even as we speak. Even as we speak, that I can stand here before you and let you know that He's able. He's able. He's able to do exceedingly and above all that we can ever ask in prayer. What seems impossible? Don't you know your deliverance is in your testimony? If you did what you did, understand that God's got it. God's got it. God is letting you know that He's going to take care of everything. All that you've done, if He can forgive you, there is nothing you have to worry about for those around you that don't. God sets you above. God purifies your heart. He's the refiner fire in our life today. And we just got to open up and say, Lord, you know, I know that I'm not the only one here on earth. And I know there's going to be some trials and some tribulations. But I also know, Lord, that you are the one who made me. You are the one who will keep me. You are the one that will set me free from everything that I've ever gone through. You are the one that can heal me from what I've gone through in my life. Every scar that I've had, you are the one that can deliver me. The Lord wants you today. He wants you at this time. He says, here I stand at the door and knock. Will you come to Him today? If that's you, come to the altar. Come to the altar today. It's an amazing feeling. It's an amazing feeling. That was a lot of baggage. It's an amazing feeling. And if He can do it for me, He can do it for you. Allow Him to ponder your heart and open up and give it all back to Him so He can carry every burden that you've been carrying from the root. Open up your heart to Him today. Be set free, be delivered. The Lord is speaking to somebody in here today. Now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. God has some stuff that He wants to do with you, and He is saying it's only the beginning. Once you came forth, it's only the beginning. You're going to be a bold soldier. You're already acting in it as we speak. If that's you, to speak to your heart. I'm telling you, this is the hour of deliverance. It's the hour of deliverance. There's been some hurt. God's saying, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. He wants to deliver you. He said, let it go. Don't hold it. Give it to Him. And the weight will be lifted. How many want a weight lifted in their lives today and want to be free? Let it go and be delivered today. Hallelujah. If you feel that you have turned your back on God and there's no way that He would accept you back into His kingdom, God says that He's married to the backsliders. Understand that God loves you, and He already knew what you was going to do before you did it. He wants you to know that He's your father, He's your mother, He's your sister, He's your brother, He's everything to you. And He knows you. He knows your heart. He's saying, come back to me. My arms are open wide. Come back to me, and I'll receive you. If that's you today, come on to this altar and receive your deliverance. Receive today. Receive. 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 The Lord loves you. He loves you so much. This is coming from my soul because I know he's told me. He said, Shan, I love you. And everything that has happened to you and everything that's going on with you, I'm releasing you. And it feels so good to release it and be able to tell the story and be able to let someone else know that God is able. He is able. Hallelujah. If you don't have a church home today, don't you know you need to be in fellowship? You can't do this thing alone. If you know that you need to be in fellowship and you need to be around strong brothers and sisters, come to this altar and join our fellowship. This is a wonderful place to come, a place that we try to do the best. There's no perfect church. Don't get me wrong. If you find a perfect church, please let me know, because I'll be coming with you. But there is no perfect church. Understand that God has set it up that we can come together. In unity, there is strength. And as we walk alone, the enemy has more of an advantage of taking us out. So link up with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and the Lord will strengthen you. He said one can put 1,000, but two can put 10 to flight. The more that we come together in unity, the more that we can attack what the adversary has done to try and take us out. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us first. Continue to serve the Lord with gladness and know that he is faithful and just to forgive us of every one of our sins. We thank God for the brothers and sisters that have come. Let's give them a hand clap. I am so ecstatic. I'm ecstatic because some of y'all I done talked to personally, but at the same time, I know it's through testimonies that we are overcome. So as you have come forward to recognize that Christ is able to move in your life and recognize that you can open up your heart and believe in him and he's able to save you, you guys are the winners. You are the winners today. And the Bible says that the angels in heaven are even rejoicing. A celebration is going on right now. It's going on right now. We might as well join them. We might as well join the angels as they celebrate. Romans 10:9, it said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, it is then and only then that you will be saved. It's so important to know that with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And that's what you all are about to do right now. You're about to openly confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're about to openly confess that you were once a backslider and you're bringing your life back to him. You're about to openly confess before the world. God said if you be ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. So what reverses that? If you be proud of him, if you exalt him, he will be proud of you. You are his children, and he's your daddy. And he's saying, those are my kids right now. Now what? He is standing up with his arms folded like nothing can touch you, nothing can harm you. Now, don't get me wrong. There's going to be some trials and tribulations, my Lord. But why can't you get trials and tribulation? Why is this all of a sudden going to happen to me? Well, if you're already on the devil's turf, he already got you. I ain't got to work harder because they already going in a pit of fire. But now that he's know that you found the avenue to get out, now he's going to send all his imps your way and say, let's go after them before they get my sheep go astray. You're not his sheep. You belong to God. And that's what you need to know right now. You are his children, the sheep of his pastors. You have power to speak those things as not as though they were. You see all this in the Word of God, and if you don't, open up your Bible and read it. There was miracles happening in the Old Testament. There was miracles happening in the New Testament. Don't you know God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? Those miracles are still happening today. But as we open up our minds to understand the power of God, and when we begin to know what God is able to do in our lives, you have that same power. You have the power to speak it. You have the power to open up and tell the Lord what's going on and pray against those things that would try and rise up against you. You have the power. Watch God move. Watch him move. If I was a gambler, I'd be rich right now. Watch him move. I want you to repeat these words after me. And this is simply the prayer of salvation. It simply says that you are confessing Christ as Lord and Savior before everyone here. And you are making a commitment to make him Lord of your life. It doesn't take you to get saved 2, 3, 4 times. Once you are saved, you're always saved. So when you make this commitment, you become my brothers and my sisters. And I always wanted little brothers and sisters, you know. But it's just a wonderful thing to have more come to the kingdom. Repeat these words. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I welcome you to live in me. You said you'd throw my sins into the sea of forgetfulness, never to rise again. I thank you for making me over. I thank you for making me your child. I know now, Lord, that I am saved. Put your hands together and give Jesus a great big round.